T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good buddy Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. So, Mike, Matt LaFleur, I mean, the number one thing for me right now is getting Aaron Rodgers right, and then after that is that offensive line, is winning the battle up front. And can you do that if David Bakhtiari still has the bad back?
Yeah, people have been asking me, if Bakhtiari can't play, who's going to play? And I, just the way training camp played and those games, I'm not sure. Gary Ellerson was saying, well, it'll probably be Billy Turner. I mean, that's where you put the money to move him from right guard. Although I wondered if Lane Taylor would be the candidate, would he move out to left tackle? He's done this before, and you move Elgton Jenkins in, the rookie, to left guard, who they were so high on to begin with. However, Lane Taylor had such a bad game, particularly in the first quarter against the Bears, I don't know if he, bought any trust from Matt LaFleur. So I think that Bakhtiari is probably going to go. He did get back on the practice field today after missing Thursday's important practice and pads. He was out there today for the run-through. And then after practice today, Matt LaFleur was asked about, the status of David Bakhtiari for Sunday's game.
Yeah, no, he was out there, and it was nice to have him out there. He did a little bit of work. We still got about 48 hours before kickoff, so we'll see where he's at.
So what do you need to see the next 47 and a half hours?
Yeah, we just got to make sure he's ready to go and can protect himself and play high-quality football. If he can't, then he won't play. That is an important position in terms of more so in the drop-back game, because that's your quarterback's blind side. So, he's got a big task ahead of him. They got two premier rushers in Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter. So it's going to be a big task for whoever's in there.
Mike, as they prepare for the Vikings, obviously you want David Bakhtiari ready to go.
And we should mention, Bill, that's a back injury that he's dealing with right now.
Correct. Is it a back injury or spasms, or what is it?
Well, the coach isn't talking.
Right.
And David was available early in the week, and so we don't know how or when this popped up. He was out there Wednesday, but he was out and he stood on the field in sweats, but did not put on the pads on Thursday. So maybe it's something that flared up after Wednesday's practice.
So now you've got Aaron Rodgers trying to get this thing back on track, and all eyes are going to be on him as to whether or not the offense really begins to flow. So my question is, Aaron Rodgers calling these plays, trying to audible, didn't look real good in the game on Thursday night. They had guys where they were running the clock down to zero again, some delay of game penalties. They had some guys not in the right place. So give me your thoughts as we move into week two.
Well, Aaron Rodgers and Tim Boyle have joked a little bit that sometimes these LaFleur plays, they go on and on and on. X, Y, Z, zebra, undercross, right, it's an alphabet soup by the time he gets it. The coach has got until 15 seconds left on the play clock before the radio gets cut off in your helmet. You saw Aaron a lot of times with his new helmet cupping his ears over the ear holes. That's something I saw Tim Boyle do a lot during the preseason. And, sometimes when you're on the road at a rival's place like Soldier Field, suddenly the radio cuts out. Isn't that weird how that happens?
It's always crazy. Yeah.
Or up in Minneapolis. So I asked Aaron just quickly, I said, were you having trouble with your new helmet or your radio? He said, no, just the noise, man, the noise. I go, oh, it's too loud? No, the stadium. It was too loud at Soldier Field. I could not hear the play. That's why he was cupping his ear. So he just getting the play in, spitting it out of his mouth in the huddle, making sure that he, got it clear to all those guys, breaking the huddle, getting up to the line. This whole LaFleur plan, and you haven't seen it yet because you didn't see it in the preseason or in game one against the Bears, there's a lot of these plays where they're supposed to break the huddle and like a fireman drill, run up to the line and snap the football, a quick snap. You haven't seen that one yet, just like the Rams have done in years past. So today, there's Aaron Rodgers out there with one of those wristbands with the plays on it. You know, like you're talking about if you brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know,
right,
the backup quarterback. It's like the guy learning the plays. Well, I guess what they're trying to do is, you know, instead of having LaFleur spit out all that things, if he just says 21, then you flip up the card and you look down there and you see, oh, it's zebra XYZ underneath, you know, and then he reads it off from the card. And you can get maybe 50 plays like that, and the coach can just call out a number, 17, and then the quarterback, you know, spits that all out in the huddle. But you save yourself 10, 12 seconds, and you can get up to the play, to the line quicker. So today, Matt LaFleur was, hey, man, we saw on your Friday run-through Aaron Rodgers out there with one of these wristbands and plays on. What is that for play calling, or what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. We were just trying something new, so we'll figure out where we are going with that.
Have you used that before?
Yeah, we've integrated that in previous years, but you know, I just wanted to experiment with something.
Think that could possibly help with tempo? Is that the idea?
I don't know. I don't know so much with the tempo. Just wanted to give it a go and just working through some things.
Because he had mentioned that some of the play calls are very long.
It definitely gets out of my mouth a lot faster, I'll tell you that much. So, yeah, maybe it would help with – it helps me get him to play a little bit quicker.
I understand that. Here's my question, and I'm only asking this because of the knowledge of Aaron Rodgers. Do you kind of get the sense that that's not something he wants? He wants to be the smartest guy in the room, that he doesn't want to look at his wrist? Or do you think that he's embracing this, going, God, just make it easier. Put it on my wrist and I'm good to go?
I'm going to say he's embracing it. I'm going to say he's being open-minded and says, okay, let's give this a shot. You know, he may have even suggested it. Who knows? It's nothing. I mean, you know, it looks like the collar of shame on a dog.
Right.
To be going in your 15th season, two-time MVP, and you're wearing one of those things. But, you know, we asked Aaron at his locker Wednesday afternoon, after, you know, he'd even said after the post game, hey, you know, the reason we only scored 10 points, a lot of that might be on me. So we asked him about, generally speaking, after reviewing the film, why he thought the offense struggled in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I think we went into a tough environment and struggled at the gate. Obviously, getting into a rhythm, getting a first down, but you know, once we got going, I thought the operation was better, the tempo was better. But you know, it was a tough test for us being on the road to start the season out. Tough environment, great noise, great defense. So we look to you know, have a better operation this week. Today's practice was good. You know, be ready to play and hopefully score some more points.
So there you go, Aaron Rodgers at his locker yesterday. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll pick up kind of where we left off. We've got to talk about this defense as well. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. A reminder, Lodge Kohler kickoff coming up tonight. A little bit of wine, a little bit of Zadari, or Adrian Amos is going to be our guest today. So if you want to stop over to Lodge Kohler later on this afternoon, this evening, come on by and say hi.
All of the 19. Trubisky is going to get taken down short of the first down, so he can't get out of the backfield. Preston Smith was in there, and then Kenny Clark came in, and the crowd letting the Bears have it.
So, we said we was going to run a game. Me and him was on the same side, and I hit it. He said, hit it, Z. So I hit it, and he came free up the middle, man, and that was just big for the whole team, man, to finish a game like that with a sack.
And he's right. That's the way things ended. And the Green Bay Packers walk away with a victory, a hard-fought somewhat tenuous victory, because it wasn't spectacular, but at least they got the job done. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline and picking up where we left off. Mike, you look at this Packers defense, and you know, I got to admit, it wasn't that I expected them to be bad. I expected them to be better than what they were, but I didn't expect that kind of a performance. And I'm not going to diminish it by simply saying that, they were playing Mitch Trubisky. I mean, they won up front. I mean, that was big for them last week.
Apple, it's one game. But I don't think you can ask for a better outcome to hold the Chicago Bears. Those guys scored about 24 points a game last year. You thought they were going to take it to the next step. Except for Trey Burton out, they were a healthy team and ready to go. They've got a new rookie running back they're excited about in Montgomery, Tariq Cohen. And somehow, you just flipped their offensive plan into an omelet. they stopped giving running the football toward the end of the game. Tariq Conan being their leading receiver, and Anthony Miller only got 16 snaps. He's supposed to be your number two receiver out there, and you've got this defense with these free agents that, you know, it's their first game under Mike Pettine. You've got a rookie at safety. You got 36-year-old Tremont Williams being called on to come up and make the big plays against, you know, Allen Robinson, you know, one of the taller receivers in the National Football League, and these guys pull it off. I mean, darn near close to a shutout to hold the Bears to 3-0 on a big game like that that they had saved their starters for. They had put all the Bears have been working for that game since last April, and they, I mean, you really messed with their heads as to where they are to start. And so you got to give it to Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, who talks about his players buying in, you know, and to, I think the fans, that sounds like, well, you know, these players are very skeptical and they've got their own ways and maybe they'll take a look at the playbook. No, buying in is a nice way of coaches at the professional level, at the NFL level, to say, these guys believe in what we're doing. You see them doing the work. You see them asking the questions. You see them absorbing the game plan, and that's how this thing works. So, you know, Pettine talked to us yesterday afternoon about what worked versus the Bears to limit them to only 3 points at Soldier Field.
Well, I just think for the whole unit, it was just one of those nights where everything kind of everything fell into place. I mean, we were prepared. I thought we had a really good training camp, just as far as building the foundation of this is what we're doing fundamentally and this is what we're doing schematically. And then as training camp started to wind down, we began to gear our preparation towards Chicago. I mean, there were times we were working on it and they didn't know we were working on it, but we were working on it. And then when we actually got to the game week, that this was a group that they were confident, they were prepared. I mean, that's what we always talk about, that, you know, the best way to be confident and to have that swagger to you is to know your material inside and out. So this is one of the more intelligent groups that I've been around. I mean, we can give them a lot. They can handle a lot because the communication's real good. They understand it. And they let us know when they don't, that there's a lot of that feedback. So just the way it played out, I mean, I just thought it was just one of those nights where things fell into place. And obviously I enjoyed it at the end, but I almost got knocked to the ground too. That I know that would have been ended up looped on the internet over and over if that had happened. But you know, it was, I just thought it was just great for our, not just for the players but for the staff, you know, to cement the buy-in. You know, we ask them to do a lot, what they do preparation, what they do out of the building, what they do on the practice field. We ask a lot of them, and you're hopeful that you get the results, and the fact that we did, I think, just, I mean, they were all in anyway, but I just think that cemented that even more.
Yes. Mike, I wanted to ask you because the comparison from last year to this year, obviously they've upgraded player personnel. I mean, I think as much as you want to say, well, look at what they did up front and look at how, you know, you got Dean Lowry and Kenny Clark and they had significant roles. But, man, when they bought the bookends and the Smith guys, that made a big difference. Now you've got the youth back there with height and speed and Adrian Amos. That face of that defense has changed dramatically in less than, you know, 12 months' time.
And, I got to say, I was a Clay Matthews guy, smart football player. You know, he had those sacks. He had those sacks in that game against the Vikings at the end of the game and then got called with the penalty for roughing the quarterback. Remember that happened 2 or 3 times. He seemed to be the poster
right
boy for that emphasis, you know, which ended up being nonsense by the NFL and the refs. But how many times did we see Clay Matthews one step away from not making the play? He made a huge play against the Rams against Jared Goff in the early part, I think, fourth quarter. It should have ended the game right there, but the offense was so inept at that point they couldn't convert and close out the game. Then you had the special teams. You won this game last week because of the defense shutting down the run and because of special teams. Look at the field position the Bears had all night. They had their first two drives, they were at their own 30. They took over the Green Bay, it was a 40 or so, and that's the one they converted the 3 points, the Pinero field goal. For the rest of the night, it's 25 yards, thanks to a Mason Crosby touchback, and then J.K. Scott and his punts and good coverage. They started at their own 11, their own 4, their own 17. They had poor field position for the rest of the night, and that's one of the ways you shut down the Bears on first and second down. shut down their offense. And you can take more chances. You can blitz more often. But listen to a team now that's without Nick Perry, who, you know, could be strong at times, but he just kept on, ended up on the injury cart. Clay Matthews was definitely getting slower. And then Mike Daniels. You make this decision the first day of training camp to say, you know what, this isn't what we're paying for. And the guy's had a foot injury. We're going to move on. We think Dean Lowry can do that job. He did it for us in the second half of last season. Listen to what Mike Patton said about when we asked him, where was this when it came to stopping the run last year?
That's got to be critical for us, the stopping the run part, especially, you know, we had some issues on the edges last year, and that's one of the big reasons that we made the moves we made in the offseason, was to be able to have, you know, kind of that bookend look. It's difficult to turn the corner, and now we feel like we have some pretty good guys inside that we could funnel the ball back to.
We had issues on the edge last year.
Yep. Very, very blanket about it, no doubt.
And it's at this point, it's another layer of the onion where everything that I see and hear and smell around this place is that there's a new regime with Brian Gutekunst, and this guy is talking to the head coach, and he's talking to the defensive coordinator, and he's including these guys when it comes to making some of those final roster decisions. And you talk to Patton about it, like, I mean, look, it's just one game, but my gosh, the way Za'Darius Smith played and Preston Smith and Adrian Amos, your guest tonight, with his interception, it looked like he'd been in this defense for 2 years. Not his first game. You'll mm-hmm. have to ask him about that tonight when you sit down with him. And we asked Patton about, what was that process like? He says that the personnel department, Gutekunst, they came down with a list to him and his outside linebacker coach, Mike Smith, and said, hey, here's who we think are the top 10 available guys we can get in free agency. Listen to Patton talking about that search.
There's an evaluation process that we go through that we get a list of names. And kind of based on need, the list might be bigger at certain positions. We had a good number of outside linebackers to look at. So myself and Mike Smith went through it. And Za'Darius was a guy that just jumped off the tape, and not far behind was Preston. So, the fact that we ended up getting both, I think we would have been thrilled with one of those two guys. And the fact that we were able to pull that off, I thought was a tremendous move by Goody and his group. And then evaluating Adrian, I mean, that was pretty easy. I mean, I know he was kind of, the other safety down there was a pretty good player and made more splash plays. But when you just look at his level of consistency and then just knowing people that have worked with him, coached him, just his professionalism and communication and how he makes the guys around him better, and that showed up last Thursday night. I know he made the big play, but he was just his level of consistency through the game, making sure we were lined up, making the plays he was supposed to make. And I know all three of those guys made big plays, but when you just look at them, their level of consistency throughout the game was, to me, what was more impressive than just the handful of plays they made.
Interesting. I mean, he's had his eyes on these guys, and specifically on the way he can use them. Speaking of that, by the way, I want to go back over to the offense. Something we had not seen, Mike, Mercedes Lewis suddenly became a part of the offense as a pass catcher. I've said all along, he's not going to be a downfield guy, but if he can put you in down and distance situations or pick up first downs on third down, that guy can be a valuable asset to your team.
Yep. Matter of fact, last week a lot of listeners were saying, hey, where was Geronimo Allison in that game? Where was Jake Kumerow for one snap? Well, the answer to that is you're going up against that ferocious Bears defensive line. You need all the help you can. This offense, under Matt LaFleur, they put two tight ends out there. That's what made the difference. And that's why those guys didn't get that many snaps, because you had Lewis and Jimmy Graham out there, or Tanyan, getting those snaps. Now, Ted Thompson screwed up big time when he didn't re-sign Jared Cook. We all know that. He went on to the Raiders and looked terrific. Now he's going to be with the Saints. He thought he'd be clever if he could get Martellus Bennett, the former Bear, in there, who picked up a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots. But as soon as Aaron Rodgers went down with a hit with the broken collarbone from Anthony Barr, and he had his own shoulder injury himself, remember, he just pretty much quit on the team. And I don't know if the Packers ever got their $4 million back or not. That kind of went away. But you and I talked about this last January when Mercedes Lewis had done his 1 year in Green Bay. Now, this is a guy that 3 years ago this week, we were down there for the season opener in Jacksonville against the Jaguars, 95-degree heat, and a couple of times they dumped this ball off to this 6'6" veteran that they had in Mercedes Lewis, and it took three Packers to bring him down. And this happens a lot with the Packers. They'll go up against a guy, and they'll see him do that, and you'll see the Packers say, we want a piece of that. And a year or two later, he'll end up on their team. And that's what exactly what happened with Mercedes Lewis. You get into last year's season, Mike McCarthy's last year with the team, and it's like, why don't they ever use this guy? Because the one or two times they did dump off a pass to him, it was a free, huge game, and it took two or three guys to bring him down. So now you have your first game under Matt LaFleur, and this guy gets as many targets as he did all last year. What's going on? What made the difference? So here's Mercedes Lewis last January in an interview with Martellus Bennett talking about their frustration as a tight end under Mike McCarthy.
You know, Aaron had his own set of things that he wanted to do. And, you know, obviously McCarthy had his things that he wanted to do. But I just think it was a little dysfunction. The one time I really saw it for the first time is we were in the huddle. And Aaron was like, I guess McCarthy called into play. And Aaron kind of was like, nah. He's like, Devontae, give me this. Sadie's come off the ball, you give me this. Gave a direction and a protection to the line and went. And it was 4 minute offense. He threw a 40-yard bomb for a completion. I'm like, what's really going on? Like, I've never seen nothing like that before in my life.
Yeah, I never, like, that whole thing was like, as a tight end, I think McCarthy's offense was one of the worst offenses you could be in as a tight end.
No question.
Like, you're not getting the seam balls. You're not getting the deep sevens. You're not getting the deep over routes. They don't call that. So I think a lot of stuff that you build as a tight end to be productive, I think that's a lot of reason why they haven't had a productive tight end, like an overly productive tight end in years there because of the way that offenses run. But also, Aaron likes to throw the ball to the outside of the field and not in the middle of the field.
So, Mike, first of all, that was Mercedes Lewis talking about, you know, Aaron changing the plays, which really didn't, I don't think, upset Aaron by any stretch of the imagination. We all thought that might be the end of Mercedes Lewis. But, look, I really think that the tight end with Matt LaFleur is going to be something that they're going to target.
Yeah, and see, when Mercedes Lewis said that last January, I thought, well, he's not going to be back. He doesn't think he's going to be back. He wasn't used. They've got a new coach coming in. There's no way they're bringing me back. And instead, when they did announce that Lewis is coming back, that's when my hunch said, no, you see, Brian Gutekunst, the personnel department, was trying to tell the coaching department, this is a weapon you should have on the field. This is something you guys should look into and incorporate. And this is one more weapon you can add to your game plan. And so these kinds of things go back and forth. And there you see LaFleur, the new. So, you know, you had that great caller on about 2 hours ago that said, I don't know, I looked at that offense last week, and it looked like Mike McCarthy could have been in there, right? Well,
right. The
fact is, though, Aaron Rodgers made a couple of amazing plays where he had to dump off a pass while the pocket was collapsing around him. He stayed more in the pocket last week, I thought, than the old Aaron Rodgers. He dumped it off to Aaron Jones, or the shovel pass to Jamal Williams. I mean, he made some, like, Favre plays, like, I'm under duress, but I'm not going to leave the pocket, and I'll get rid of the football. Took a lot of hits, though, as well, and that's something you're going to have to work on, getting that offense off quicker. But in the meantime, you get a couple of these passes to Mercedes Lewis, and he, you know, gets you some first downs. And so we asked him, do you get a sense now after last year that the tight ends will be more involved in the offense under Matt LaFleur?
LaFleur and what he likes to do is very tight end friendly, and then we got Nathaniel Hackett here who was in Jacksonville with me. He knows what makes my engine go. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, it's the beginning of the year, so. And it's really our first game together, all together. We didn't get it, you know, too much work in the preseason. So there's still some kinks that we're going to need to work out. The O-line gelling, the tight ends, 12, you know, just everybody playing in real game situations, right? And going through adversity, you know, because you're going to face that every single game. And, you know, adversity is a part of it. You know, I was pleased that we were able to pull it out as a team. And, you know, as an offense, I mean, sky's the limit. We know what we could do.
You know, Bill, and that's the first time Mercedes has talked to us all year. I mean, he's
really sort
of been available, but I mean, like a week before camp, you didn't even know if this guy was going to get cut. They weren't even throwing balls to him in camp. Under the radar, flying under the radar. Same with Za'Darius Smith. He only talked once or twice during the preseason and all that, flying under the radar. And now after that first game, you see how these free agents or guys that they've kept, like Mercedes, have emerged. I'm telling you, Mercedes Lewis, once he opens up and starts telling you, that's the stuff he's passing into that tight end room to Robert Tonyan, the stuff that the tight end coach will, you know, talk about. Oh, this guy, no, this guy, really, he's a great teammate, really. Those are the things you see are the positives and why they brought him back. So you get to the point, too, where you're talking to Aaron Rodgers, who did tip off like 3 days before the final cutdowns. Hey, by the way, when you're talking about tight ends, Mercedes Lewis, I don't think anybody's talked to him, or I know he doesn't talk to the media much. This guy dropped about 15 pounds. He's in the best shape ever in his career at 35 years old. So here's what Aaron had to say about Mercedes Lewis, flying under the radar, being humble, being grateful that he's still got one more year to play football, and maybe this will be the solution for him. Listen to what he says about him and Jimmy Graham getting through last year together.
He just embraces his opportunities, and last year was very few and far between. You know, he barely had any catches. We didn't run any plays for him. You know, we bring him back this year, which I truly was surprised. We just haven't brought back a lot of older players like that. But then what he did, you know, training this offseason, you know, and the way that he came back, I love seeing him get a role in this offense and not just kind of, you know, a lip service. We're going to give you a couple point of attack blocks. But he had plays called for him in that game the other night. And I think it's great because it really gives him the opportunity to lead, knowing he's going to have impact plays on the field because he's a phenomenal leader. And, you know, Jimmy and I and Sadie's, we just kind of bonded, I think, being the oldest guys in the locker room on the offensive side of the ball. And had a lot of fun together and we all kept each other sane last year.
Remember, Jimmy Graham said there was a lot of stuff going on in the building, and there's Aaron Rodgers saying, me, Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis, we kept each other sane last year.
Yep, no doubt. Mike, good stuff as always, and I'll see you up there on Sunday, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.